Thanks, Jen. Good morning. How was your Thanksgiving? Good. Well, I was telling a few of you that this year we ordered Chinese. It was great. It was the fastest Thanksgiving preparation and getting rid of everything. It was amazing. But we did do an apple pie, so does that count, right? Yeah, Thanksgiving? Okay. Sorry for all of you who had to prepare for 6-7 hours. It was really tough. But I do highly recommend Chinese food or ordering him. Anyway, so I just want to welcome you guys. I have some stuff I want to go over with today. Some of you, I think most of you got a handout today. I'm going to go over just a little bit of that at the end of the service before we take communion. But my name is Ryan. I'm the lead pastor here. And I'm just tell you what, like, I am so thankful for the rain. I don't know about you. I'm so thankful to see the mountains full of snow. It feels weird, doesn't it? I feel like I live in Colorado now. And I feel like Christmas feels like a little bit like Christmas. When we first got here, we're from the Midwest, from Michigan. And so when we first got here, it was Christmas Eve. We were at Huntington Beach. And it was 80 degrees, and we were swimming, and it just felt weird. So I'm just kind of happy to have this little season right now. So let me pray, and then we'll get started. God, we love you. We thank you so much. God, we thank you for just this entire series that we've been on. And God, as you've been preparing our hearts for the decisions of life, as you've been preparing our hearts for discernment. And God, I just am so grateful for the stories I've heard over this series of people who are seeking godly discernment on big matters. And God, that you're bringing them clarity step by step. And so, and God, thank you for my own life as well as we too are seeking discernment and clarity. And God, I'm just so grateful for that. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been an interesting journey for us because we, like I said when I started the series, one of the big things that I typically will get when I do meet with somebody is, hey, can you pray for me because I need to make this decision? And it's been I've been in ministry now for 20 years, and that's been predominantly what I get a prayer request about, is someone seeking discernment. And, you know, when you're in that situation and you don't see the road ahead of you, don't know where to go and what to do, and you find yourself in this place of like, I'm really stuck, but I really want to do what God is calling me to do. It's important to follow a certain process and steps of discernment. You know, I had an old boss, and I've said this before, who whenever we come to a difficult decision at the church, and all of a sudden someone would say, well, we need to pray about it. And he'd say, wow, has it really come to that? And it was kind of like this funny statement of, wait, we have to continually bring God, the Holy Spirit, the guidance, the scripture into our decision-making. We can get so caught up into making these on our own because maybe they've worked in the past, maybe we have a precedence, or maybe we have some experience, but there's a lot that we should involve when it comes to discernment in our life. Last week, I didn't get to finish my message, if you remember that. I asked, who would like me to continue? One person. Are you here, Bill? One person said, yes, I want you to finish it. So yeah, I'm going to finish it today. Okay, so you're getting it today. I will recap a little bit, though, for you. We are in this series, and what you'll see it on your handout, but what we decided to do was look at, okay, where does the Bible really direct us when it comes to discernment? And so we identified four key influences throughout this series, and we taught on them some couple weeks, some just 1 week. And we looked at was that there was definitely, according to Scripture, four that we could follow. One was this word intuition, the life experiences, the upbringing that you had, the things that you've experienced yourself, or the wisdom that you've gained. And there's something about intuition that's important. And I think sometimes people, when it comes to when you're seeking something spiritually, I'll feel at least, that they'll throw out reasoning and just go like, God, what do you want me to do? And so let's say there's a couple and they don't know if they want to continue, and they'll say, well, I just need God to tell me whether I should stay or be in this relationship or stay. And I'm like, well, what does the scripture say about that? Well, I don't know. Well, have you guys gone to therapy? No. And then so we're going on and on, and then come to find out they just want God to tell them what to do. But, you know, there's this whole part of intuition that's so valuable, of asking these important questions. Do I have like certain decision-making patterns that have developed over the years that actually produce unhealth in my life? Should I identify those? Should I look at those? Are they influencing me in a negative way? Is there a voice from my past, someone who was influential in my life in a negative way, that is influencing the type of decisions that I make? So really taking that process and going, okay, I want to discern right through my intuition in a healthy way, a part of this discerning matter. Another one was the communal sourcing of going to others to not only just seek if this is God's voice you're hearing, but also to share the burden with them, help them labor with you in prayer, and also seek advice. You know, wise counsel is so, so valuable. The Bible says that the more wise counsel that you have, the better the outcome of the decision. So it's just so important that you have that. And it's important that you find people who will tell you no. And we don't like that. I always like people to agree with me. I had a decision that I brought to the elders, and it had been a two-month preparation on my end. I think all of our elders are in here, and you know this was really hard for me to do. I brought this two-month plan to them. I'd been offered an opportunity to kind of take on something along with what I do now, and I put a lot of work. Chad and I both said, okay, how can we also do this thing that I'm very passionate about? And when I made the decision, as I worked out a strategic plan, a five-year vision, time amount that it required from me, and Anna and I have been talking about it for a long time. I wouldn't go anywhere without Anna's approval, and she was like, well, it depends on what the elders say too. And so usually a habit of mine, I don't know if you're like this, I like to be very persuasive. I don't know if you're like this. So I would have loved to sat with our elders and just emotionally persuaded them how important it was. I could have had a whole game plan. And these guys are too smart for this. It wouldn't have worked, but I would have felt good about it. My habit is then to kind of rig the system for, is it okay if I'm being honest with you about this? I don't normally operate. I've done a lot of work in this area, but I think I can be honest with you about it. That I had a pattern of where I could rig the system, present a lot of information. I could even take this opportunity and work it a little bit to show them proof that it can be done based on what I was presenting. That was an old pattern of behavior. And my communal sourcing gave me an answer that at the time, I thought if they gave it to me, I wasn't going to be happy about the decision. And so I was telling Anna that whatever they decide, I usually don't like putting the whole decision in someone else's hand. And whatever they decide, I'm going to listen to it. And so I presented it, did the whole thing. And you know what I love about our elders is they didn't ask me one question about Soundhouse or would it take your time to go, you know, try to work with this. It was a church planting thing and try to help this thing and put a lot of energy that way. They asked just about my personal life. Are you at a stage with your family that this is good for you? You already have so much going on with Soundhouse. Do you think you can add more? And not one time did what I thought they were going to ask me came up. They just asked me about my own well-being. It was the communal sourcing at that moment, the leadership of our church just saying, hey, we care a lot more about you personally, and we just feel that this is in your heart, will help support it, but maybe not now. Now, I'm a little bit of a baby. I don't like hearing that stuff. And they asked me how I felt, which was a really good question, because I said, in one way, I feel relieved. In the other way, I feel disappointed and relieved that I have these guys looking out for me and my family and the church. And the other way, I was disappointed because I don't like not getting what I want. You know what I mean? I want to get what I want. And so at the end of the day, I felt 100% peace, was able to walk away and then go, okay, maybe in the future one day, because God has that in my heart to do that. That's the value of communal sourcing. Sometimes you're not going to hear what you want to hear, no matter what, how hard you've worked at it. If you have wise counsel around you, wise people who can hear God's voice for you and see maybe what you don't see and look at your blind spots, it's so valuable. So that was another piece. Chad talked 2 weeks on scripture. How does scripture inform discernment in our life? So when we are really, we have a matter of discernment, then what does the Bible say about that? He did a really good job of really pointing out, when we start to look at the Bible, first just look at, what did Jesus teach? What was his behavior? Does this thing, this decision you're making, line up at all with what Jesus taught, right? And that's primary. And then what does the Bible, on the other ends of Christ, what does that say about this discerning decision? And I think a lot of times that we so often want to just jump, but we really should go to Scripture, because Scripture is this eternal truth, guided and really influenced, written by writers, directed and carried out by the Holy Spirit. So you really want to know this valuable truth in your life and pray. Chad led us through this practice of just praying and trying to hear God's voice on Scripture. And then if you weren't a part of that service, you can go back and listen to it about this process of, God, what are you saying through this scripture that is in the area, the circumference of this decision that I'm making? This is on that topic. What are you trying to say? And the Bible's very clear about some things, and sometimes you have to just seek in what God's saying about it. And then we just started last week about the Holy Spirit, this other influence. Now, not at all to diminish the power and the value of the Holy Spirit. Really, if I'm being honest, we're talking about the Holy Spirit almost the entire time in this entire series. The voice of God is so prevalent, should be so prevalent in our life, should be dominant in our life when it comes to discernible decisions. But it's important just to look at like how we hear from the Holy Spirit. And I think that, you know, I could get into it another time in another series, the function of the Holy Spirit, how he works, what his role in the Trinity is, how he's working out God's plan in this world today. And maybe even getting into another time of like how people view the Holy Spirit and how it's manifested in their church versus other churches. But we won't do that today. But what we really want to do is read this one passage I really like. It might be up on the screens here. It's in Luke 14:25. I'll read it again. I read it last week. I'm telling you these things while Jesus is saying this to his disciples. While I'm still living with you, the friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. That's his promise. Your advocate, your friend. And not a friend, not a sunshine friend. When things are great, they're like buddies. And then when they're bad, they're like, do we know each other? Have you ever had a friend like that? This is your friend, your advocate, who will fight for you. When no one is for you, even yourself, the Holy Spirit is fighting for you. But it says that he'll make everything plain to you, right? And he will remind you of all things that I have told you. Right? It will resonate within you and you will remind you as you write it. I'm leaving you well and whole, Jesus says. That's my parting gift to you, peace. And we know the Holy Spirit is this agent of peace. At the end of the day, that's the goal of the Holy Spirit, is to bring an internal peace no matter what the circumstances are in your life. I don't leave you the way that you used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereaved. So don't be upset, don't be distraught. You have a friend with you. And I think that that's just such a valuable thing to hold on to about the Holy Spirit's role. He is always, always for you. And even in those times when you feel like the decision that he's leading you to, you may not feel like it's for you, but really he knows what you need, not necessarily what you want, right? And what you need and what you want is very different. Last week, we talked about there's a few ways the Holy Spirit interacts with you. I'll finish the last piece today, but I'll just give you a brief remembrance of this. He interacts with us through Scripture, like Chad was saying. It's important that we know that the Holy Spirit not only is the one who authored the Word, but he is the one who interprets the Word, right? Like the Bible says. And so in him, it's valuable that we're asking for the Holy Spirit's advice as we read Scripture. And there's this great passage I really liked, and it's the whole armor of God thing. And one of it, the last part of it says, when we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, all these things, but the offensive tool that we've been given, the Bible says, is the word, because the one offensive tool, the one tool for warring is this. And it says, in the sword of the Spirit, I almost said sword. I don't know where I am from. Okay, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, this is your weapon. And to deal with behavioral issues, to deal with mindsets, to cut through things that are sin and righteousness. It is a discernible tool. It is what we have in our life, really, ultimately, for offense. And I just think it's such a valuable thing that we're partnering scripture, reading, interpretation with inviting the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction on that. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but you can literally just say, yeah, like, Holy Spirit, guide me as I read these passages on discernment and really illuminate to me. Show me what you're trying to show me. And the other thing that he talked about last week was he confronts our flesh, right? He comes against our flesh. And in discerning matters, this is really important because there are some things of the flesh that we just naturally will make a decision, but the Holy Spirit, it might be dealing with something that's a pattern that maybe shouldn't be there because it hurts our process of decision-making. And I don't know if you've ever had that in your life where you're like, you make a decision, you eat of its fruit, and then later on you're like, why? Why did I do that again? Have you ever been there? No. And, you know, I think back to, you know, like when I was a little younger and wilder, you'd make a decision at a party and you just feel sick the next day and you'd be like, why? And it's like, well, you remember that last weekend, right? You know what I mean? It's like, hello, we have a pattern going on here. And, you know, so he confronts patterns, he confronts issues, maybe biases that we've developed over time, and maybe some fears that have developed, maybe unfounded fears, but nonetheless fears that he wants us to confront before we make decisions, because he might want us to make a bold decision that a pattern is holding us back on. There's lots of work you can do in that, by the way. Patterns through his guidance, you can seek professional help with that too, but dealing with these issues. And the Bible says that the Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the Spirit. So there's a conflict there that happens when you're inviting the Spirit into that. And then, so last week we just finished off on that. And then this week, I want to just take some time and break down a few things here. And then I'll teach through this little guide that you have, and then we'll take communion. Last week, we ended with those two things, but then I introduced a little bit, but I want to do a much better job than I did. I just really wanted to teach it. And then everybody's waving for me to get off the stage and the clock and, you know, a lot of pressure. But this last point is so important. How one of the ways that we hear the Holy Spirit or he interacts with us, which is this, he pulls our focus. And it's something very interesting that happens. Some people would say, well, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Let me just give you a basic here, maybe, so we can just go back to the very basics. Have you ever planned on doing something you know you shouldn't do, but you feel, as a believer, this kind of gut thing inside that's kind of telling you otherwise? You ever had that feeling before? I need to see a raise of hands with this. Has anybody ever felt that gut feeling, right? You sinners. But, you know, this thing of like, oh, I shouldn't, and it's pulling you. And so that is a very, very good indication that something's at war with inside of you. That what would have normally been a choice you would have made, or it's maybe what you want, but this thing is pulling against you that's saying that's not what you need. There's something different that he wants for you. And you can fight it all you want. Like Chad wrapped up last week, you can fight it. And it seems like that voice or that pull gets weaker and weaker and weaker. But really, in the end of the day, it's a matter of who am I giving authority to? Myself, my habits, my behaviors, the flesh, or the Spirit? And whoever I'm giving more authority to, more place, more, you know, I'm adhering to whatever voice stronger, that voice becomes stronger. It's not that the Spirit gets weaker. We're just putting more stock, more focus into that one area. Or the Spirit, or maybe you become more and more aware and sensitive to what the Spirit is leading you to do. So those little victories along the way of like, ooh, should I do this? Should I not? And you feel the pull, wrestling match with inside of you. That's the spirit warring against the flesh. And it's saying, hey, by the way, what area do you want to go here? And the more you're in tune to the spirit, the more you will be aware of his voice more and more because you're putting authority there. And so this is the thing about pulling our focus. He impresses upon our hearts and captivates our attention, if you've ever had that. Have you ever kind of like had your total attention captivated or your heart pulled in an area for something that he's wanted you to do? have you ever been in your relationship where you know you said something stupid and you know that you were absolutely wrong, but you want to hold your ground because the facts don't matter at this point. And you feel this pull that is like maybe just different and it's going, you know what, like you were given grace, you were given mercy, right? Here you are doing this, strangling this person essentially emotionally, and you're not giving grace the grace that you've been given. You feel this wrestling match to go and make this right, right? Make amends here. And that's the Holy Spirit, I believe, to every believer that is prompting your heart to reconcile, because that's what God's about, is reconciliation and restoration. And so when you have that, that's a good way just to kind of feel it here. It pulls your heart, or we'll get to in a minute, it pulls your attention. You can't stop focusing on something, especially if it's in line with what God is trying to accomplish in this world. And so there's a few things. There's five different ways that I just feel like he does that. Five different ways that he kind of pulls your heart and grabs your attention. And I see it in scripture, so you know what? We should teach it. So there's five. And the Bible doesn't use these words exactly. It's just the only way I could think of these words. But one of them is, the first one is your heart impression. In Acts chapter 16, he puts an impression on your heart. In Acts chapter 16, Paul, who is this great evangelist in the New Testament, is going and planting churches. He's a strategist. He knows what he's doing. He's highly educated. He's skilled at what he's doing. He's very driven. He's very passionate. And so Paul knows that if I'm going to continue the gospel, I'm going to go in this vein that seems to be leading him to Asia, right? And things seem to be working out that way. And so as he's taking the gospel that way, he gets confronted by what the Bible says is the Spirit, right? Directly confronting him and saying, we're not doing that. And it's this interesting thing because he has this heart impression that says the Spirit resisted him in a way. But Paul's doing a good thing, but the Spirit has different plans. And so you'll feel this heart impression, this sometimes resistance, or you'll feel this pull to somewhere else. And it's such a fascinating thing because it captured his attention, captured his heart, and then Paul starts a very different journey. And one of the questions I have on the screen here is, if you feel a pull on your heart, tune into it. Pay attention to it. What is it telling you? What's it saying? What's it saying not to do? And what's it saying to do? That's a heart impression that you'll feel from the Holy Spirit. The second thing is this is, I didn't know how else to say this, but it's like a sticky thought. Did I put sticky or stick thought? Sticky thought. Okay. It's like this thought that just won't leave your head. I don't know if you've ever had that before, but it just bothers you when you think about it. It could be an injustice that just bothers you. And it just feels like, why is that there? I don't really ever care about that usually. Or it could be a person that's on your mind and just bothers you. You just keep thinking about it and thinking about it. And I there's an interesting thing, I think, when the Holy Spirit is convicting a heart, when it's capturing a mind. It pulls your attention to something that you wouldn't normally pull your attention to. You know, it's interesting, after Paul, that verse in Acts 16 we just talked about, he was resisted and he was directed a different way. He ends up in an area that just seemed the least likely for him to be. And essentially the most godless, at least as far as the God that we're talking about, place, which is Athens. And Athens at that time, it was, you know, it's Roman rule, but these are the greatest minds, the greatest philosophers that people really had known. They looked to these leaders, these great philosophers, and they met at this place called the Areopagus. And as Paul's teaching in the streets, and he's probably wondering, why am I here? This is so much more difficult. There's gods everywhere. People are sacrificing to everything. And he gets invited to go speak at this Areopagus because they're like, oh, this is a new religion. This is weird. And so Paul gets invited in front of this council of the wisest, and he begins to share the gospel. And what happens after that is really interesting because he gets mocked right away. At the very end of his little speech. He doesn't even get to finish his gospel presentation. And he gets mocked by the council. But the Bible says that a few listened. And a few said, we want to hear more about this later. We're interested. And there's something about where sticky thought, it grabbed their attention, it got their mind, and it pulled them in a direction. This is just from some random guy off the street they didn't know is sharing these truths. Then the Spirit grabbed it in their mind and in their heart. And it goes on to, at the very end of that, it says, Dionysus and Demarius, they went with him to hear more. These were people sitting in the council, these great philosophers, debaters. And they said, we want to hear more about this. They actually left and went with him and then began to be believers and a part of the church. This thing I have up on the screen here is a question. Maybe if a person, a situation, or a thought lingers on your mind, pray for clarity. If it's the Holy Spirit and what he may be speaking to you. Is this you? God, are you speaking to me about this? For some reason, it's got my attention. It's got my heart. And that's how he works. I point these out, by the way, when it comes to discernment, because being familiar with these ways that he interacts with you will help you tune in more when you are looking for clarity in discernment. The third thing, the way that you see the Holy Spirit interacting with you, now this is probably the most difficult to teach. I wish I had a whole sermon to do this. I don't. So I need you to, if you can, hear what I'm trying to say and maybe not what I'm saying. Well, maybe what I'm not saying. There you go. And it's dreams, like, because these can get really wonky, by the way. Like, let me give you an example. I had a dream last week before service, and it was a strange dream, and I don't know why it happened. But I'm sure some psychologists could tell me the meaning of it. I don't want to know it because it's too weird. But I was in a parking lot, and a car was heckling me with my kids, and they were yelling out things, and I yelled back to start the fight. I was like, you know, I don't even know what I said, but I'm sure it was so good. They circled around, and they stopped, and they got out of the car, and they started running at me like a clown car, one after another, out of a pickup truck. And so I was like, oh, man. But as they got closer, they were really, really, really old men, like 80 years, 90 years old. And they were, I mean, it was unbelievable. And they were running at me. And it was like a slow motion, like where I'm like, boom, hit, break the hip. You know what I mean? Like one after another. I was fighting all of these really old people. And if you're 80, it don't mean you're really old. But to me, it was, you know, I had more strength. I was young and I was beating them all up, and I felt really bad, but I looked like a superhero. And I don't know what was happening in that dream. I didn't consult the Holy Spirit because it just felt too weird, okay? So I was like, this is clearly just a weird dream. You know, some people would say bad pizza. But I do believe that God does speak through dreams. And I think we have to be very cautious about that and consult God about them when we feel that's in line with his will. Now, very interestingly, I had a guy 2 weeks ago as a pastor, church planner. And when we had sat down before, and I've been in this process of helping this church planner, and he would say things that just really concerned me about the motives and maybe even just, it felt like it was a lot more about this church planter and about the bigness of what he wanted to accomplish, and it kind of got me nervous. And I'm always really cautious about that. And it felt like the church was really going to be centered around this person, and that's not the way the church is meant to be. We're just a part of the church as anyone else. I have a privilege of doing what I'm doing. If God wants to take it away from me, our elders will decide and I'll be gone. You know, like that's the role we play. And it's a great, and I'll do it as long as I can. And I remember just getting really nervous about it. But I'm so cautiously helping this church planter and asking questions along the way. But I couldn't really get through to him. And it was so interesting. We sat down the other day and he said, "I had this wild dream." And I said, "Well, tell me about the dream." And in the dream, as he was talking about it, was 180% shift to everything that myself and others have been trying to speak to this person on. And it was very clear. And it was exactly what he needed to do and shifting the way he thought about it to really what God is really trying to do through a church and community, connection, ambition, all these things, just kind of within context of the scriptures. It very much lined up with the Bible. And as we were talking through it, and I said, "How did it make you feel when you're done?" He goes, "Oh, I'm changing the way I'm going to do this. I realized that this is what God wants." And it was very, very clear. And I said, "Well, how did you feel?" He goes, "I felt peace about it." And it was so cool to see how excited he was to scale back everything that he was trying to do. And I walked away, I thought, well, I definitely think that was the Holy Spirit speaking to you through that dream. And that's what grabbed his attention. So there's ways that he does that through dreams. There's this passage in Acts 16, starting in verse 9, it'll be up on the screen. And we see this happen to Paul. And I'm going to assume he's sleeping because of the phrase they use. But you see, you know, the God speaking through dreams all throughout scripture. But we have to be cautious in a way because there's things that he's doing through those dreams. And in Acts 9, he says this, "A vision appeared to Paul in the night," right? Still circling around that push to go somewhere else other than Asia. And he says this, he says, "A man from Macedonia standing and appealing to him, saying, 'Come over here to Macedonia and help us.' When he had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go to Macedonia." Now, this is the important part, "concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them," which began the churches that we know now and have influenced the world. It's very interesting that he concluded it. He had, I'm sure, tested it, measured it. This must be from God. This man from Macedonia saying, "Come to us and speak," as he's being resisted by the Spirit. And I do believe God does speak his will through through dreams to us. Now, always to take that into consideration, you know, and some questions I think should be asked is, and this should be up on the screen here, is that dreams, they are clear in message, like what happened to my friend who's the church planter. They're impactful. They will redirect the behavior. And they bring clarity to something that might have been fuzzy a little bit, or even a blind spot. And they're in line with the ways of the Spirit to bring God's glory about. We should seek meaning on them when they happen, and we should corroborate the story, right? Does this corroborate with scripture, with other people, bring it to other people and say, "What do you think about this dream?" And then it should be concluded. What does it mean? And the conclusion should be followed by peace is usually what it is, because that peace is going to be needed for the decision that's going to be made. My friend is going to have to make some hard decisions. And when the results aren't in line with what his training was or what he wanted, it's going to be disappointing to him. And he's going to have to just be, "It's concluded. I'm going that way." When Paul arrives on his mission, when he got that dream, it wasn't an easy journey for him. He might have gone, "Wow, this was hard. Am I sure I heard that right? To have bad pizza?" You know what I mean? Like, what was going on? And so it's important that we conclude the dream. I'll say this last story. I may have told it here a while back. When I was a young believer, I was around a guy who was maybe trying to mentor me in my faith, although he wasn't a great mentor because any given Saturday when I go to his house, he was usually still pretty hungover, you know what I mean? And but he was trying to teach me the ways of, you know, God and the Spirit and listening to the Spirit. And he was a bit, now I know he was a bit of an oddball, right? And he called me in the morning and said, "You need to come over right away. And I was like, whoa, what? He goes, I got to tell you, I can't, I got to tell you in person, you need to come over right away. And I get in my car, I race over, I'm thinking maybe he's dying or something. I have no idea, it could be liver cancer. I don't know what's happening. And so I drive over, we sit down, and here's the scene. I walk in, now I'm 20 years old. I walk in, and I think he's like 30. Beer bottles filled his whole table, his coffee table. And I was like, oh man, maybe we're going to rehab. I don't know. Like, maybe I need to bring him in. And he sat down. He goes, you got to hear this. He goes, I had a dream last night. And I was like, okay. He goes, it was from God. And I was like, what was the dream? He goes, I don't know how to say it. This is crazy. It sounds crazy. I know. I don't know how to say it. And I was like, what was the dream? He goes, I'm going to be president of the United States. And I was like, what? Come again? I'm going to be president of the United States. And I was like, of these United States, you're going to be president of the United States. He goes, yeah, it's very clear I'm going to be the president. And I was like, when? He's like, very soon, very soon. And I was like, are you asking me to be VP? I don't know what's happening. I got concerned. And I've been looking at every presidential election, and he's not on the debate stage, just so you know. And I was just a little bit like weirded out by it. And the thing is that I think that every dream needs to be really put through a process of like what I said, but really ultimately God can speak to you through that way. The Holy Spirit can minister to you that way in line with what he's trying to accomplish. It will be impactful. It will be behavior changing. It will cover a blind spot you're not seeing, but it should be brought to others as well. But that's just something that you can pay attention to. The fourth thing here, I think the Holy Spirit, how he interacts with us is in conviction. We covered it a little bit last week about dealing with the flesh. But let me read this passage. It's in Acts 2:3. And the thing about it is that this is just after Christ was crucified. I mean, thousands and thousands of people are filling the streets for Passover, right? Oh, sorry, for Pentecost. And they're all here. And then Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he comes, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter, who's this guy who was so indecisive, one minute he's for Jesus with a sword and he cuts a guy's ear off, the next minute he's denying Jesus three times. And he's just not this bold Peter. But the Holy Spirit, he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he speaks the words of the Holy Spirit, right, given to him. And here's what happens. He gives this whole long talk. It's worth reading in Acts chapter 2. At the very end, it says, Peter's words pierced their hearts. And here's the response of a pierced heart when the Holy Spirit is convicting something in our life to decision. It says, and they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? What do we do? And that's when you know that there's a conviction. There's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And the question is like, what do I do then? Because I know what has been going on is what I should be doing. And but something's speaking to me, what do we do? And then they lead him in that direction. And really ultimately conviction is change. It means changing. And if you want to go to repentance, repentance really means turning and going the other way. And that is a way that the Holy Spirit speaks to you, especially preparing you for healthy decisions and discernment. A couple questions, maybe a statement here on the screen, is conviction is definitely the awareness of our ways now met by a resistance. It's like, wait, I'm used to doing this, but now you have a resistance in your life that's saying that is not of God or for your best interest. There is better fruit on the other end of that. And that it's a resistance that invites us down a different path with different fruit. And so when it comes to discernment, we're typically used to making certain decisions that and we've just always made it, but maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to something different that will have a different fruit. And it may not be the way that you have always done it. The last thing is this is how this Holy Spirit will interact with you that I see at least through scripture is he'll interact with you as through a vessel or as a vessel. He will speak to you about someone else
or someone else will feel like the Holy Spirit saying something to them. Now, I had a friend of mine, and someone said that they hear from the Holy Spirit all the time. And they went to my friend, and they said, God just wants me to tell you that, and he's a pastor running a department. I know this guy inside and out. He is not called to do what this person said to do. And they said, God's telling that that you have some relatives, your origins are from the Pacific region, and God's calling you there to go back to minister to those people that your early relatives never were able to do. And he said, A, I don't have any relatives from there, and B, I'm definitely not moving my family. I'm not called to missions like that. And it was just like he resisted right away. He thought about it. He asked a couple people, and we're like, that is not a, did you look at your family tree? Do you go to Heritage, you know, and look at that? And he's like, we're not from there. And he had a very specific, generations. He knew very well. And those are the types of things where, like, you have to be discerning in these matters. If someone comes and says, God told me to do that. It happens in Bible. Who's ever gone to Bible college? Put your hand up proudly. And what do they say? A ring by spring, right? Chad, is that what it is? Yeah, a ring by spring in Bible college. They call it bridal college. And so, and some people will go in and they'll be like, oh, they'll see somebody and they'll be like, oh, God. Hey, God told me that you're going to be my wife. Now, if someone says that to you, then you need to know that they've been dealing with the devil, right? That is not what God is going to do. And there's this weird mentality of like, well, okay, you know, this is the Lord. I'm going to tell it to you. This is the Lord. So it's authoritative. So you should listen to me. All of that should be brought into question. And I think sometimes, sadly, that people, and maybe in the most toughest times of their life, might get a word from someone that might not be from God. You have to be very discerning in those moments of your life. Now, as a vessel, there's this fascinating thing that happens. Because as a vessel, if God's pressing something on your heart, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, it might not always be safe either. So if it's to serve in a part of the city that's very dangerous and you feel God's calling in your heart, you can't get your mind off of it, and you feel like God wants you to be a part of helping in this area, it might be more dangerous. It might. And here's a situation when it happens just like that. Acts 9. Now, Paul is being dealt with by Jesus. He's on his way to go kill and lock up more Christians. You know the story, the road to Damascus. And he's on his way. He's got this decree in his hand that's going to give him a lot of power to go into any city and capture who he wants and interrogate them to wipe out this Christian movement. And Paul, on his way, gets knocked off of his horse, blinded, and Jesus is speaking to him. And he refers to Jesus as Lord, and then he submits to Jesus. And Jesus says, you're going to speak to essentially kings, and you're going to be my mouthpiece now. And he says, sends him to this place in the city and waits. He's blind for 3 days. And then at the same time, the Holy Spirit is speaking to a guy named Ananias. And so this, essentially to the Christian movement, a terrorist is being sent his way by God. And now God is speaking to him to minister and reach out to the terrorist, this guy who put fear in everyone's life. And here's what it says, and this is his response when he hears God speaking to him in Acts 9:10. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Those are big words when the Lord's speaking to you. He's saying, I'm available for what you want, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go. I have a mission for you. And he gave him the mission. Now, Ananias, to be fair, did say, but God, that guy, haven't you heard what he's done? I'm afraid. You don't know. This could be a trick. Why are you putting me in this situation? Why am I a vessel right now? And it's amazing because Ananias listens and he goes and really starts the process of mentoring Paul. Saul, who becomes Paul, and then teaches him the ways of his faith. And then out of that mentorship, out of that vessel, we see what's taken place since then, this man of faith, Paul. And I think that God may use you as a vessel. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to you about somebody to go, and maybe if it's an encouraging word, maybe if it's something that's happened that you just, that, I don't know why, but you got to be there. You got to be there. And the Holy Spirit's wanting you to be a vessel for him. Maybe it's at your workplace and you don't want to be a vessel, but the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about being a peacemaker. There's all kinds of different things there that the Holy Spirit speaks to you about. And here's some questions up on the screen. It says, if the Holy Spirit places a person on your mind to confirm and encourage a work that he's doing, pay attention to it, right? He might be in the middle of doing something, and you might be that vessel that could be a part of it, or you might be having someone sent to you, that something that you're going through. He is employing his "Here I am, Lord" people at work. And I think that's a question we just have to continue to be open to. I want to be a "Here I am, Lord" person, vessel. And when you're open to that, you'll hear, you're in tune with what the Spirit is doing and saying. All of these five things, why I want you to pay attention to them, because they just tune your ear in more to hear the Holy Spirit in discernible matters in your life. I had this, and I asked this person's permission if I could do this. I won't say their name, but I rarely get it where the Holy Spirit's put someone in particular on my heart in very specific way. It wasn't on my mind. This person was not on my mind at all. Not at all. I hope you didn't hear that. You're in here. I think about you and I love you, but not. I had other things on my mind at the time, and it just bothered me. It just kept his name and just thinking about him, and then I sat down and I was going to send him a text. But I remember just like, no, the text isn't good. Like, you got to write this out exactly. And it was such a weird moment for me because I was like, okay, why do I have to write this out exactly? And I just felt like, okay, I got to get this right, exactly what I want to say right. If you've ever gotten a text from me, guarantee it's misspelled, guarantee it's incomplete, and there's a lot of emojis filling in for what I can't say, right? This is not the case. I had to be very specific of what I was saying. And I wrote this. I said, "Hey, blank. I've been thinking about you, my friend. I wanted to let you know that you have a whole church family." That was very important for me to get across in here. "A whole church family who loves and believes in you. I am always blown away by the way you carry yourself, even in the most difficult times. I really look up to you for that. Thank you for being an example to me and so many others. You are a man who works hard to follow the footsteps of Christ. This passage reminds me of what you do so well and how closely you trust God's guidance." Psalms 25, 9. "He leads the humble in ways, in what is right, and teaches the humble his ways. You are someone who embodies the value of humility. I just wanted to tell you that. Because you lead so well by example to all of us. P.S. Do you want to get a long walk and a coffee?" All right, so that was not from the Lord, but the rest of that, I felt like God's very specifically wanted me to say things. Now, I didn't know when I sent the text, so I got a text right back from this person, and they said, "I'm sitting at my desk. I'm in a really hard place, and that's exactly what I needed to hear at that moment." And that's when I knew, okay, God, that was definitely from you. Rarely do I quote scripture in a text. And it was super, super specific. And I just saw the impact of God allowing me to be a vessel for his work. And I just want to encourage you that if he is nudging you, he's putting someone on your mind, or if someone else is sent your way, and it's like, wow, God, this person came at the right. Have you ever had that? You came at the right time with the right thing that I was concerned about to reaffirm what you've been trying to tell me the whole time. The Holy Spirit is at work. This little guide, I won't go over it because now I don't have time for it because I spent so much time on what I didn't have time last week. But this little, we printed this out for you. I wanted you to have it. Chad and I just went through it. And all it is just a little guide for you to have in these four resources, because we, influences, we didn't want you to leave with going, what was that one thing, right? We want you to have it. And under each one of these influences on discernment, we just put some questions there that are worth asking in the process. And so as a discernible matter comes, something big, something you don't know, the next steps ahead of you, it could be big, could be small, but it's worth going through these questions in each one of these to see, like, am I really doing the due diligence in discernment according to Scripture? And our prayer is that in this guide, maybe if you just keep it with you, it will help you, it will assist you. And maybe just give you a little bit more clarity in what God is calling you to do in a moment, in a difficult time. And so let's transition here and move into communion. You know, when I think about communion, you know, that one communal sourcing part is what I think about when I think about communion. Now, I also think about the Holy Spirit, what he's doing, because I know when if you maybe wonder, why do I eat this little cracker and then why do I drink this grape juice? And what does this really do? But the thing that's happening in this moment is you're recognizing Christ's sacrifice and you're recognizing his blood that covered your sins and brought you to life. And you're acknowledging through this moment, and I believe the Holy Spirit does work in this moment in your heart. I've seen people walk away, take communion, cry during the worship song as they're taking communion because something's happening in them. And I think that too is an affirming thing that he bears witness with what Christ did to make you alive as one of his ambassadors. I also think that the communal sourcing part that we talked about is, man, we're better together. We're strong in numbers. We need each other. And every time you get down here and you look across from the person who's grabbing communion, which is okay to do, it's not weird. You're just looking at someone else from a different walk of life, a different experience, a different story. And that person is there for the exact same reasons you are. They were dead in the water without Jesus. They were dead and now they're alive. And we're brothers and sisters who are just celebrating the work that God's done in our life. And we're walking out of the room after communion going, and really ultimately just remembering who Jesus was and how we can follow him in the life that we lead once we walk out these doors. But we have a family here, like I was telling my friend. We have a family, a whole church family that's here for you. And this is what really the church is about, ambassadors who are leaving this embassy and going out and impacting the world, and you're better together. So let's pray and then we'll take communion. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you, but to also acknowledge you in this small, simple act, this representation of a deep spiritual work that happened that brought us from death to life. And God, I thank you that as many of us in here have big questions ahead of us, big discernible matters, that you haven't left us alone to just ourselves, but you've sent your Holy Spirit, you've given us Scripture, you've brought a community around us, and God, you've given us mindsets and intellect and decision-making ability to make the right decision that you want. We love you, God, we thank you, and as we take this communion, God, we celebrate you, Jesus, the work you did on the cross that brought us the life that we have. And God, we just pray that every day that we can make the decisions that you made, Jesus, as hard as some of them are, we make the ones that you made, and we follow the footsteps of you as ambassadors, carrying your name everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to stand and join there in this last worship song, at any moment you can come down, take the elements, head back to your seat, and then Chad will wrap us up.